Right on. Let's give it up for our worship team. Man, what other adjectives can you throw in there? Awesome, excellent, powerful, mighty. Keep it coming. Guys, it's so good to be together. I had the opportunity to speak today and to go through our lesson. And I want to just kind of turn our attention back to the beginning of when we split and we came into the East region. We had communicated that our theme is according to your faith, and that from our faith stems all other things, that from our faith stems our action, from our faith stems our vision, our plans, and what it is that we do. And I promise we're going to continue that today, but I'm going to take a very loop-ended way to get there. Does that sound good? Okay. I want to begin today by first saying how much I am grateful for this church. You know, I grew up in this church. I grew up in Randolph, which is like deep West Jersey. And I just from a young age became part of a family that was much larger than my biological family. I had people that were, my mom would say, call them aunt and uncle. And I thought they were my aunt and uncle until Christmas came around. They weren't there. And that's what the church had become for me at a very young age, was this was family. This was home. And I'm really grateful for our East family right here. You can clap for yourself. That's awesome. Something I can't really fully appreciate until we go back to Clifton is when we look around at who is serving for ushering and who's serving for communion, who's serving for all these different aspects. The majority of the people are in this room. You know what I mean? Like we're kind of a star-studded cast in here. I'll tell you that. We're a very lucky group. You know, just last Wednesday, I'm studying the Bible with this guy named Charles, really amazing young man, goes to Essex Community College, and he's been stuck in the Bible studies, right? We've been going through, trying to help him repent, but he's feeling a little stuck. He's not here today, so, you know, hey, how you doing? But he's feeling a little stuck, and so we were talking about repentance, we're talking about motivation, and I was like, dude, have you ever seen someone be a Christian? He's like, actually, Matt, yeah, of all the people in my life that I thought were Christian, Matt, you're the real deal. I was like, wow. Thanks, man. And what was cool that it was 10 minutes before midweek started. So I said, you know what, Ron? I'm just a number when we walk in the crowd. I'm nothing special. When you walk into midweek tonight, you're going to see what you see in me everywhere you go. And he showed up to midweek, and I can't even joke about it. 10 minutes after we were setting up the AV equipment and stuff, I turn around, and he's laying on the floor playing cards with a bunch of disciples. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then the fellowship afterwards, the conversations. I think what's really special about this church is that we share a common conviction that Jesus is Lord. And that, I mean, amen. That's awesome. And that's not something that you see outside these walls. If you go to most churches on Sunday, anywhere you go, you don't see the common shared spirit of discipleship, the common shared spirit of we get to do this together. And I love this church for that reason. Now, I do want to say that my love for this church pales in absolute comparison to God's love for this church. Amen? I want to talk about that for a little bit. Is that cool? I want to talk about how much God loves his church, this church. You know, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5 says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called God of all the earth." God, through the prophet Isaiah, says, "I am your husband. I love you. I'm your Redeemer, I'm your Savior. We are in a marriage relationship together." And he says that about Israel, and I would argue that the church is the modern day Israel. It's God's people. And God says, "I am your husband, East Group. I love you, I cherish you," and he's the good husband. In Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus goes one step forward, and actually Paul goes one step forward, and says, the way that we ought to have marriage relationships is the way that God loves his church. That he gave himself up for his church to make his church radiant. Husbands, love your wives the same way. God loves his church. He is the example of what a marriage ought to look like, and the way he demonstrates us is to this group right here. You know, John chapter 17, as Jesus is, you know, saving his last breath before going to the cross, he goes to the garden and prays for the unity of this group. I mean, talk about your last breath, what you're going to say. And in those last moments, he's praying that we be one as God and Jesus be one. That's how much he cares about us. You know, and if you need any more evidence, the whole book of Hosea is a story where God is saying, you know, listen, you're unfaithful, I'll buy you back. You're unfaithful, I'll buy you back. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. God treasures his church. Guys, you are treasured by God this morning. Hallelujah. That's why we sang hallelujah, because we have a reason to sing it. We are loved by God. Now, I reckon that it's not that God loves the people in his church more than the people in the world, but I do reckon that because we're in the light with him, his love is more readily accessible to us. It's not that he loves us more, but because there are no barriers, God gets to fully demonstrate his love to us right here. Man, that's a great thing to be a part of. Now, here's the crazy thing, is that feeling God's love or experiencing God's love, you kind of wish that God could just come down and look at you face to face and say, you know, I love you. I've chosen you. And yeah, he does that through the Bible. Okay, let's be corny like that. But like God doesn't really get face to face with us and say, this is how I feel about you. I mean, if you had an experience, I'd love to talk afterwards. I'd be curious to how that went. But it's in the church that God demonstrates his love. But it's not just solely through him. I think God demonstrates his great love through the people in this church to one another. If God is UPS, we are his mailmen, right? If God has the packages that he wants to deliver, we are the ones that deliver it to one another for him. Amen? You know, 61 times throughout the scriptures, the Bible talks about these one another passages. Do this for one another, serve one another, love one another. I want to read through a couple of these things, and I want you to pay attention to what it is that God wants us to do with one another. Listen to these things that God calls us to. It's a long list, and if something just sparks you, write it down, but don't write it all down. He says, I want you to love one another, be devoted to one another, honor, live in harmony with, build up, be like-minded towards, accept, admonish, care for, serve, bear with, forgive, be patient with, which is the same thing. Speak the truth, be kind and compassionate. Speak to each other with psalms and hymns and songs. Submit to one another. Consider one another better than yourself. Look to the interests of others above yourself. Bear with one another. Says it again. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage, exhort, spur on one another towards love and good deeds. Show hospitality. Use your gifts for. Clothe yourself in humility towards. Pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another. And the list goes on. All these scriptures where God says, do this for one another. If you zoom out, I think that is what God's love is. Love, serve, admonish, teach, confess, X, Y, and Z. I think God has this great plan of his infinite, unattainable, understandable love. He wants us to understand it by the way that we serve one another. Amen? It's in this church that we get to experience God's perfect love for us. I don't think the church is the only way for us to experience God's love for us, but I think that it is one of God's primary ways of delivering it to us. Amen? This is the place to be. It really is. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, God goes one step forward talking about the intent for his church, and it says that his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom, the many folds of wisdom of God's love, or of God, should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. It's through the church that God's manifold wisdom is being made known. And not just to us, but to the angels, to the authorities. God is up in heaven. He's saying to his angels, look at the disciples in the double tree. My wisdom, my love, my power is being revealed in this group, in this church. The angels sit and watch what's going on in this room because you are God's explanation of his love. It's a pretty amazing thing. The angels are looking for us. They're looking to see it. Now, according to your faith, according to your faith, it will be done for you. I think, church, we know that we're loved by God. We know that we are important, and I hope you do. And I think we know these one another scriptures. It's the scriptures that we don't forget. I think we could go around and each share our favorite one another scripture. But faith without deeds is dead. We can know all these things, but if we don't do anything about it, our faith is useless. And so what I want to say today, church, is not we're not doing this. In fact, I think we're doing this so well. But I do want to just remind us that God is displaying all of his power through you. We have such a responsibility and a job that sometimes we just need to be reminded of what it is that we get to do this morning. Amen? You know, do you believe this, church? Because here's the thing, is that Satan knows it and is actively trying to get you to not believe how important you are. If he could get you to be selfish and not thinking about others and just trying to take care of yourself, he's blocking the world off. He's blocking the church off from experiencing God's amazing power. We have a responsibility that's way too big to be selfish. We have a responsibility that's way too big that we just got to give it to one another and love one another in an amazing way. You know, like I said, church, I really think we're doing this. And I think even what I'll share for a little bit here, I've got 2 points. But the things that I want to share, I don't want you to feel like I'm not doing this. Because you are. I mean, I felt these things even this morning as I've walked in. But we're trying to sharpen the axe here. We're trying to bring it into a more clear picture and to be better because there's always room to grow. Amen? So the 2 things I want to focus on, and they're 2 simple points, and we'll close and we'll pray together. Well, the first thing is to encourage, and the second is to exemplify. Encourage and exemplify. First point is to encourage. Let's turn our Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. I love this church, guys. Oh, my goodness. I was hoping that Tina and Ray, I know Tina's here, but I was hoping Ray was going to be in here too, but he's doing security. But I feel like since we've split into our community groups, Ray and Tina have kind of become like an aunt and uncle to Brielle and I. And I really appreciate that because I don't know if I would have ever had that relationship if it was not for splitting here. But Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, encourage. I think we could all say this scripture based on verbatim for the amount of times we've looked at it. But it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, East Family Group, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another once a week, as long as it's called Tuesday, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Okay, that's the MRV, the Matt Rupert version. Okay, the NIV says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, which is what it's called today, and so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, God's plan and a way that God shows his love is by continuously softening our hearts. That's what love does. Love just puffs you up and reminds you, or love just fills you up and reminds you, man, I can do this. I'm not going to give up. I can fight. And so encouragement is God's plan for breaking down the hard hearts. That's his solution. Yes, the Bible, yes, prayer, but encouragement is the defined weapon for breaking down our hardness of hearts. And the truth is that it's a gift for some, it's a command for everybody, But I would argue that it's natural for nobody. We're all called to do it. Some are great at doing it, but it's not something that we naturally are inclined to do. It's something that we got to fight for. You know, there's a reason that Jesus, or that the writer of Hebrews says, see to it. Make every effort. Go after it. Be intentional. Because encouragement, I would reckon, is not a very easy thing for a lot of us. Amen? We love it, but it's not always an easy thing. The truth is that life beats us up all day, every day. But God intended the church to be an oasis from the world. This is where God's heaven is breaking through, is right here in the church. And that's what it's intended to be, is that, you know, it's in the church where hard things are said, and we need to accept that, but there's an overwhelming amount of love that shadows the hard things that are being said. Encouragement is kind of like a muscle that needs to be trained, and I think it's something where if we're not practicing it regularly, we can get kind of dull at it. I know even recently I've been feeling like there's been a lot of just different situations I've been involved with, and so I can get pretty quick to say, hey, bro, this is what you got to do. Hey, bro, hey, sis, I encourage you to talk to that sister because I want to talk to you, but hey, bro, go and do this. And I realized that my encouragement muscle has gone a little weak recently. Anybody feel that way for themselves? I used to be super encouraging, but wow, I've kind of missed that a little bit. But here's the thing is that it's something that we have to be intentional to do. It's what about you're looking for. If I told you all to look around the room and find 5 red objects, and then to close your eyes and find 5 blue objects, you wouldn't be able to do it. You probably wouldn't be able to do it. Because why? You were looking for the red objects. You find what you're looking for. And so if you're looking for negative things, I promise you, you're going to find it in the church. Yeah. But if you're looking for Jesus and looking for positive things in every person, you're going to find those things too. But we need to be looking for it. You find what you're looking for, and you're going to find them. You know, I do want to say, if God could tell you all the things that he loves about you, his list for you would be absolutely endless. It would be millions upon millions of things on that list. But if Satan can communicate the things that he hates about you, the flaws, the weaknesses, and the sham, he could do that too. You know, it's in the church where even in encouragement, even when we're saying the hard things to one another, what we're doing more than anything is just pumping what I see of you. I love you. God loves you. You have grown. You are amazing. And even just the small victories. But that's what we got to do, is we got to walk around just pumping the love into one another, reading off God's list so much more than Satan's list. Or just don't read Satan's list. Read God's list. And even in reading God's list, bring the encouragement of how to grow and to help each other as well. We got to be doing that. You know, if when it's somebody's birthday in the church, recently, I don't know if you know Shauna Gill. It was Shauna's birthday yesterday, and she helps lead the campus ministry with us. And man, when you just see somebody and it's their birthday, you take them aside and you just go, I'm so grateful for you. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. You have grown so much. You're such a necessary part of the kingdom. And I'm glad that God had blessed you in my life, X, Y, and Z. Like, you just stop and pump the love into them, right? In the church, I try to walk around like it's everybody's birthday every day. Because if I could just get in front of somebody and for 20 seconds, just show them how much God loves them and remind them of all the things that is good about them and remind them about the ways that they've grown and matured, because their voice isn't hearing that all the time. But if I could just do that and give them that love, and we just go ahead and everyone's doing that in the fellowship, nobody would miss a church service. Because you don't miss your birthday party. The truth is, I'll take any challenge as long as I know that the person who's giving it to me believes in me. Our encouragement needs to just be flowing in this room. You know, that's one of the things I love about our church. I love that as I've been so corrected, I was telling this to Seth Mitchell, one of my friends, as I've been so corrected growing up in the teen ministry, I can remember the hard challenges. But more than anything, I remember how Ross Lippincott and Damon Curtis just showed me how awesome I was, even when I know I'm not. But they made me believe that God sees something in me more than I believe I can see in myself. And I really believe I get to be who I am today because of the encouragement. I was unlocked because of the encouragement that was pumped into me. And we have that responsibility to give it to one another. Amen? We're going to come in for a landing here on the second point. But the first point is to encourage. And the second point is to exemplify. Let's look at two scriptures. Titus chapter 2, verse 6. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right, Titus chapter 2, verse 6. Paul writes to Titus. It's in here, I promise. Here we go. All right. Paul writes to Titus to remind him of the importance that the church has of setting examples for one another. So he says, hey, young women, or old women, older women, set an example for the younger women. Older men, set the example for the younger men. And this is a part of the one another way, is that in the church, in a way of revealing God's love, we exemplify discipleship for one another. Because we do well when we're thriving. Titus chapter 2, verse 6 says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. As disciples, we have the responsibility of exemplifying for each other what discipleship ought to look like. You know, in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says it again. He's got a message that he wants to keep communicating. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, rather, he says again to Timothy, a young man, says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. You know, this is one of those aspects about the church that I love, is one of the one another ways. Is that God has made us responsible to demonstrate Christianity for one another and then to help one another mature in our Christianity. This isn't just the role for a leader or an evangelist. He says this is the role for every disciple in the kingdom. Young men, young ladies, we're all responsible for one another inspiring and instilling and showing how we do this. You know, church, I want to just help us remember that one of the most powerful assets that you have is your example. What you do speaks so much louder than your words. The way that you act, the way that you react, that is so powerful for good and sometimes for bad. You know, in the church, we live in a fishbowl. That not only in the church, but in the workforce and everywhere we go, we are visible 360. Every direction in which we go. You guys remember at NJIT a couple years ago, we used to have, I think it was NJIT, we had a room where it was surrounded by windows. You guys remember that? Yeah, we had gone in there. And I go there pretty often as I'm doing Bible studies, and I'll sit in there, and I'll just see people just looking at me as they're walking around the fishbowl. I'm like, stop looking at me, please. But that's the truth of discipleship, is that all of our actions are being seen all the time. And so we have to exemplify the character of Christ. But let me remind you that no one is looking to you for perfection. They have Jesus for that. So take the pressure off of yourself, okay? You don't need to be perfect. But when you do fall short, because it will happen, how you respond is the example that needs to be seen. And Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, the righteous fall seven times, but seven times they get back up. How we respond to issues and how we respond to being corrected, how we respond and how we act, how we do things is demonstrating for others, hopefully, a righteous example. Even when you fall, you can be righteous. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's not about perfection, but it is about being an example even when you fall short, getting back up, going for it. I want to ask you two questions. What is one aspect that you would like others to follow you in? You can go ahead and write it down or think about it for a second. But what's one aspect that as you follow Christ, you would like others, you'd feel okay with others following you in? And I want to be honest. You might feel like you don't have something to say, but I promise you that you do. You have a gift. You have a strength. You are doing something right. You're here. Like, hallelujah, right? Like, you are doing something where I would feel great about following you in that area. What is it? Own that strength. You know, my mother-in-law is here. I'm going to get some points real quick. So my mother-in-law is here. And it's kind of a crazy story. How she became a disciple was because of my uncle and all this crazy stuff. But anyway, my mother-in-law is one of the most hospitable and funny people I've ever been around. Like, when I spend time around her, I feel so loved. And I'm like, she is older than 30, and she has so much energy for someone who is older than 30. And I'm like, wow, that is that positive strength that I want to imitate. I love you, Mom. If you're looking for the good, you can find it. You've got to look for the good in yourself. You've got something to offer other people. And I'll encourage you to show people your strengths. Don't hide it. If you're good at encouraging, encouraging. If you're good at leading, lead diligently. If you're good at giving, give generously. Do the gifts that you have. You got to own it because we got to see it. You know, if going back to that UPS example and we're the mailman, you can't just mail it in. You got to show up and deliver the package. You know, I had my phone broke recently, and I was super upset. I don't even know how it happened, but I would put my finger where the camera is, and my finger would start bleeding. It's like, what am I doing? So I went to Amazon. I purchased a new, there's a point to this. I purchased a new back cover for my phone. I was like, I'll save some money. I'll just put it on myself. And then when the day was supposed to arrive, it didn't arrive. And I got an email for Amazon. It might come tomorrow. And then it didn't come tomorrow. And I was like, I need this. Eventually it showed up. And, you know, thank goodness my phone is now fixed. But with the roles that you have and the gifts that you have, we need it. You can't just pass it off to somebody else who has that gift. God has given you a gift in a package to deliver to us. Please deliver it. Amen? Let me ask you a different question. What are areas that you don't feel comfortable about someone following in your example? If someone became you and started walking around, what would you be concerned about in them? I won't share about anybody this time. You know, but again, we're imperfect, totally fair. But if you have an area that you don't feel comfortable someone following you in, you can't just accept that that's part of your character. It has to be addressed and it has to be dealt with because you're setting an example for all of us. You know, I'm so grateful for our college students, but our college students and our teens are very pliable is the word, very impressionable. They see and do a lot of the times. And so when I'm irritated and I'm frustrated, sometimes the guys that I'm training up, I'll see it and I'm like, oh, that's my, okay, that's me. I get that. But where you are weak, let's address that together because we're setting an example for one another. Amen? What are you going to do about it? You know, guys, in conclusion, I just want to just remind us, man, God loves us so much. We are so valued by him. He's got every asset in the kingdom working to make you strong, working to make you feel loved. And when we all embrace the one another way of taking our responsibility to encourage one another, to exemplify one another, that feeling of, I don't know if you ever felt this way, but that feeling of, I can scratch other people's backs, but my back is never scratched. If everybody in here decides that I'm going to be outward focused and giving, your back will be scratched. That's God's promise. And so we got to embrace that. We got to exemplify. We got to encourage. Let's close out in prayer together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us so much. God, I when we look at Google Maps and at night and you get to see what New York City looks like, it's just this zealous light hub of the world, of lights and shining. And God, I know that's the way that you look at us at 11:30 in the morning this morning, God. You just love us so, so much. And I pray that every person in this room really take the responsibility of delivering the package that you've given them to give, God. That you really help us infuse our lives into one another, to encourage, to find the good things. Train us to find the good things, even when all we see is bad. Help us nitpick the good, because we need it. God, help us be examples and to deal with the things that we need to deal with. We need your help. Lord, we love you so much. In your son's name we pray. Amen.